comes from Paul's letter to the community in Galatia. As they were trying to make sense of the source for unity within their community, Paul used the words commonly heard in baptism as an understanding of how they would be united. The reading begins. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Jesus Christ, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
O Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, the source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. This is so truly beautiful, isn't it? We know in the church that the church has only two sacraments, symbols that point us towards the depth and the mystery, and only that a symbol can yearning us to guiding us to come into and experience that mystery of God's grace. The Protestant church has two: Holy Communion, and we explored conversation of some of that, and Holy Baptism. It was the time of the Protestant Reformation where the church slimmed things down in the Reformation, and down all the way from the seven original sacraments down to just these two. At the time, they also included confirmation and penance and marriage, ordination, and anointing the sick. But we have these two beautiful opportunities to experience the mystery and the grace and the wonder of God. We gather together looking at these various symbols through these weeks, getting closer and closer to Christmas as we walk through Advent, considering how these are signs and symbols allowing us to open space, prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ anew this Christmas year. I wonder what it is that makes baptism so truly beautiful. What is it for you that makes baptism such a deep sign and symbol of God's arrival, God's coming, our yearning for that connection with God? What is it that causes us to come, especially on a Sunday like today, dress our children up if we do, and celebrate this wonderful day? Well, one of the things that I think makes baptism so very special is that it is generally a rare occurrence. Baptism does not occur each and every Sunday. Some churches have communion every Sunday. Every church offers prayers and songs and word and readings. But baptism is very, very rare. Here at Northwood, this is our third time, just this year, that we have celebrated the sacrament of holy baptism. We might renew our baptisms, perhaps on a sunrise Easter service, or consider them at other points of the year, baptism of Christ and such. Baptism is very rare, and we actually get to witness this beautiful occurrence. And what's even more rare about baptism is that it happens once in a person's lifetime. What we just witnessed this morning is Liam and Ryan's one baptism in their entire life. What a beautiful, priceless gift we have witnessed, we have participated in, that we have celebrated. How truly beautiful is that? But its beauty, the beauty of this baptism, is even beyond how rare it is. Its beauty is even deeper and more profound when we consider how it connects us together. Baptism bridges all of our connections and unites us as one. Baptism does not just connect us with people across Canada as members of the United Church of Canada. Baptism's meaning and depth and beauty is even more deep and profound. We gather together and we celebrate baptism that connects us with the universal, global, worldwide Catholic Church. We inevitably get a question or two over coffee. Reverend Scott, we noticed we talked in our service this morning about Catholic. Are we Roman Catholic now? Well, no, we're not. We love the Catholics, of course. We're still United Church, but the small c Catholic is about how we're part of the universal global church. We're connected with brothers and sisters in Christ all across the globe, acknowledging that there is one faith, one baptism, indeed, one connection, one church. Oh, the church can disagree. We can disagree about everything that seems so absolutely significant at the time. Place of women in the church, gender, sexuality, politics, you name it, the church has debated about it. But this one time we can gather at the font and we can be united and all of our divisions can be washed away and we can be reminded that we are all truly one. One, brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us, children of God. Reminded of Jesus' baptism. When he was baptized, it says that the heavens opened and the words echoed through the heavens, "You are my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." It's those same kind of words that we almost hear echoing as well here. "You are my son, Liam. You are my son, Ryan, in whom God is so well pleased. Delighted that you are part of God's family from the day of your very birth." Indeed, baptism is one of those things that washes all of those social differences, those social constructions that we place so importantly in our world, washes them away and reminds us that we are all kin, family, part of the kingdom of God. I think that's why that text in Galatians is continuing to be so, so very important to us here in the church. Even think of this, 2,000 years later. How many pieces of wisdom do we continue to hold 2 millennia later? Paul was writing to this community, worried about the divisions and the separations that already were forming among the various Christian communities, the Jewish Christian community, the Gentile Christian community, and he wanted them to be reminded that they are one. He used those baptismal words that were common in the day. There is no Jew or Greek. There is no slave or free. There is no male or female. All are one in Christ. There's no Jew or Greek. Those separations among culture, differences, those are all washed away in the waters of our baptism. There is no slave or free. Separations of wealth and status will have no bearing in Christ's community. There is no male or female. Even back then, when gender differences were so pronounced, there is no male and female. For those gender differences, we are all one, valued beautifully as one in Christ. How truly beautiful is that? There's a word that Paul uses in this passage that I think even for me adds to the beauty even more in Galatians. He talks about this time of baptism being an end to the disciplinarian. He probably heard that as it was read too. In the New Revised Standard Version, we hear it as disciplinarian. In other versions of text, we hear it as teacher. Time of the disciplinarian, the time of the teacher is coming to an end, washed away in our baptism. The literal translation from the Greek word is pedagogue, so you can imagine how teacher makes kind of sense. But at the time in the Greco-Roman world, there was a slave that was assigned to the role of child leader. The slave was a very significant part of the family. They were the child leader. They were responsible for leading the child to school and home safely, for making sure they wouldn't get into too much mischief. They would supervise the child, guard the child. They would be the child leader. In that time, the need for the slave leader, the child leader, that person is over. Because in our baptism is the time where we take on those roles to spiritually lead the child through the baptism that we are given and the baptism we celebrate. Tara and Mike and Kelly, for these parents, they take on vows, as we have done perhaps in our own lives, taking on vows for our children. We take on vows promising to share our faith with our children, to grow in faith with our children, to experience God in this sacred community of family. Godparents, Karen, and Candy and Brenda, take vows, as perhaps you may have been honored to be a godparent, as I have been in the past too, to take on vows, to share some of this journey with that specific person, to walk with them as a spiritual mentor, to be with them. What a beautiful gift and task that is. And then you all of us, we stand up on behalf of this universal global church, this little church in this corner of Fleetwood, in this part, this little speck of the world. We all stand up to be the church family, the extended godparents. The waters of baptism indeed gather us together and allow God's grace, God's peace revealed in Christ to be found here and now. We literally open up space. We witness and we experience the coming, this true coming of God's peace right here and right now at this beautiful, beautiful font. Some years ago, Hillary Clinton wrote a wonderful book. You might have read it. It's called It Takes a Village. The premise is somewhat obvious from the title. She argues that generations across generations, cultures across cultures, they have all recognized the wisdom of that African proverb. We've all recognized that it needs more than just a nuclear family for us to raise a child, to truly help them become the best child of God they can be. It takes a village, is that African proverb's wisdom, and it continues for us today. We know that without the extended family, we cannot go it alone as parents. We know that without extended families, without support systems, without grandparents and uncles and aunts and all the family, without churches and schools and scout groups and sports teams and neighbors and on and on and on, all of those extended families that are so deeply significant, all part, allow for that village to truly be the best village it can be. And as a church, we incorporate this into the sacrament of baptism, don't we? This is how we see ourselves as a baptized and a baptizing church. Parents come and they present their child for baptism. And we as a church, we respond by continuing to shape and build a community that can allow Christ's nurture, Christ's guidance, that allow the family of Christ to continue to grow here and now, for that child to come and realize their faith, for us all to continue to grow in depth and wonder, for that Prince of Peace to truly be found here and now. One of the beautiful realities that we experience right here and right now is that it truly takes a village, and we know why we come and make a village here on Sunday mornings and other times throughout the week. Baptism's beauty is that wonderful opportunity for us to prepare, to come and prepare at times like Advent, to prepare for the coming of God's peace. We see the water poured, and it reminds us of God's grace, God's love revealed in Jesus. His water opens that place for God's arrival. We set this place of welcome, and we welcome a little child. We welcome two little children. And yet long before we ever welcomed children, it was God who sent a child. It was God who sent the first child unto us, a sign and a symbol sent to us that we prepare for now, a sign and a symbol of God's kingdom coming and unfolding here in our world, a world that was filled, continues to be filled with darkness and pain, revealing light, revealing peace. So as the water is poured and as the baptisms are celebrated, we continue to create a place of welcome. We continue to prepare a place where God will come. We continue to shout and pray and prepare, saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen.